Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Light at the Edge of the World: A Journey Through the Realm of Vanishing Cultures is a work of cultural anthropology and literary nonfiction by Wade Davis, an anthropologist, ethnobotanist, and explorer known for writing about indigenous knowledge systems. The book examines the diversity of human cultures through the idea of the ethnosphere, the full range of ways human beings have imagined, organized, and inhabited the world. Drawing on decades of travel and fieldwork, Davis considers communities in places such as the Canadian Arctic, Borneo, the Amazon, and Haiti, using them to show that cultural disappearance is not a marginal issue but a loss to humanity as a whole. Its purpose is not only to describe threatened traditions, languages, and lifeways, but also to argue that they contain distinct intellectual, ecological, and spiritual achievements. The book blends anthropological observation with reflective prose, making it accessible to general readers while remaining grounded in serious cultural inquiry. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the ethnosphere as a measure of human possibility. Davis gives the book its conceptual center through the ethnosphere, a term he uses to describe the total diversity of human thought, belief, language, ritual, and social practice. This idea shifts the discussion of culture away from folklore or heritage alone and places it beside biological diversity as a form of planetary inheritance. The reasoning is that every culture represents a complete solution to the problem of being human in a particular place, with its own ways of naming landscapes, organizing memory, defining obligation, and interpreting the unseen. When such a culture disappears, the loss is not limited to ceremonies or artifacts. It also erases a system of knowledge that may have taken centuries to refine. Davis, therefore, asks readers to view cultural diversity as an intellectual resource, rather than as a collection of exotic differences. The concept is important because it challenges the assumption that modernization naturally produces better or more rational lives. Instead, the book presents human variation as evidence of creativity and adaptability, showing that no single civilization exhausts the possible forms of wisdom. Secondly, vanishing cultures is a global loss rather than a local tragedy. A central argument of the book is that the disappearance of indigenous cultures affects more than the communities directly involved. Davis treats cultural loss as a global contraction of imagination, comparable in seriousness to ecological decline. The reasoning is straightforward: languages, rituals, and social systems encode ways of perceiving the world that cannot be fully translated once the living community that sustains them is disrupted. A language may carry detailed environmental distinctions, kinship obligations, moral categories, and oral histories that do not survive in the same form when people are forced into dominant economic and political systems. The book does not reduce cultural change to a single cause, but it emphasizes pressures such as assimilation, economic dependency, resource extraction, and the spread of global consumer norms. Davis is especially concerned with the speed of these changes because rapid disruption leaves little room for communities to adapt on their own terms. His analysis makes preservation not a sentimental desire to freeze the past, but an ethical and intellectual concern about whether humanity can continue to support many valid ways of living. Thirdly, indigenous knowledge as practical intelligence rooted in place. Davis repeatedly connects indigenous cultures to forms of knowledge that arise from long experience with specific environments. And his background in ethnobotany is important here, especially his interest in sacred plants and traditional ecological understanding. The book presents indigenous knowledge not as primitive belief, but as a disciplined relationship between observation, memory, ritual, and survival. Communities living in rainforests, Arctic regions, or island environments often develop exact understandings of animals, plants, weather, soils, and seasonal change because their lives depend on them. Davis argues that these knowledge systems are embedded in stories, ceremonies, taboos, and social responsibilities, so they cannot be separated neatly from spiritual or cultural practice. This matters because modern institutions often recognize knowledge only when it appears in scientific language, and while overlooking the cumulative intelligence contained in oral traditions. The book does not claim that all traditional practices are automatically correct or universally applicable. Rather, it insists that they deserve serious attention because they reveal alternative models of ecological relationship, restraint, and adaptation at a time when industrial societies face environmental limits. Fourthly, field travel is a comparative method for understanding cultural difference. The book is shaped by Davis's long record of travel and field engagement, rather than by abstract theory alone. His examples range across geographically and culturally distinct settings, including the Canadian Arctic, the rainforests of Borneo and the Amazon, and the cultural landscape of Haiti. This comparative structure allows him to show that the value of indigenous cultures is not based on a single romantic model. Arctic hunting traditions Amazonian plant knowledge, and Afro-Caribbean religious worlds differ profoundly. Yet each demonstrates a coherent way of organizing human relations with land, spirit, history, and community. The method also helps readers see that cultural diversity is not decorative variety but a set of deeply learned adaptations. By placing different societies beside one another, Davis avoids treating any one culture as a universal example. The travel-based approach gives the book vividness. But its analytical function is more important. It reveals patterns of threat and resilience across different regions while preserving the specificity of each place. This balance between breadth and particularity is one reason the book reaches readers beyond academic anthropology. Lastly, a critique of modern uniformity without rejecting change itself. Light at the Edge of the World is often critical of the forces associated with globalization, but its argument is more precise than a simple rejection of modern life. Davis is concerned with uniformity imposed through power, markets, schooling, religion, development policy, and resource extraction when these forces leave communities with little ability to define their futures. The book distinguishes between change chosen from within a culture and change produced by coercion or structural dependency. This distinction is important because it prevents the analysis from becoming nostalgia for an untouched past. Davis recognizes that all cultures change, borrow, and adapt. Yet he argues that meaningful cultural survival requires continuity, dignity, and control over the terms of transformation. The book also challenges the assumption that technological expansion equals human progress in every context. If progress produces material access while destroying language, memory, ecological knowledge, and social identity, then its costs must be examined. Davis therefore frames cultural preservation as a question of self-determination and human plurality, not as an attempt to keep people isolated from the present. In conclusion, this book is well suited to readers interested in anthropology, indigenous studies, environmental humanities, ethnobotany, cultural history, and the social effects of globalization. It will be especially valuable for readers who want a broad, accessible account of why cultural diversity matters beyond museum preservation or academic classification. The practical benefit lies in the way Davis teaches readers to recognize knowledge where modern institutions often fail to see it in oral languages, ritual practice, ecological memory, and locally grounded ways of living. Intellectually, the book offers a framework for thinking about cultural disappearance as a loss of human possibility, not merely as a demographic or historical trend. Compared with many books in cultural anthropology, Light at the Edge of the World stands out for its combination of field-based authority, literary clarity, and global scope. It is less technical than a specialist monograph and more conceptually focused than a travel narrative. Davis does not simply catalog threatened traditions. He builds an argument about the ethnosphere as a shared human inheritance. That emphasis gives the book continuing relevance for discussions of language loss, indigenous rights, ecological knowledge, and cultural self-determination. Readers seeking policy detail may find it more reflective than prescriptive. But those looking for a persuasive account of why vanishing cultures matter will find it distinctive and enduring. If you would like to support Wade Davis, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.